Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Welcome to FMLPL Milan.
This Walsh.
Game Week 17 pod before much chaos and many more pods and live streams and everything.
Yeah, I mean, we probably just won't be doing my lives very much until January. It looks like we will do one this week. And that'll be the only one until January, probably.
Yeah, we'll definitely do one this week because it's a sort of normal week.
Just a Friday game.
Friday game, and then it's fucking chaos. Thursday deadline, day. Tuesday deadline, Saturday deadline.
Yeah.
Don't know what How the fuck doing, we're going to do there. Yeah, I'm good. How you doing?
Hanukkah, baby.
Hanukkah, baby.
It's on a new meaning. Never cared so much about Hanukkah in my life.
It's also just, I get so tired when it's just like pod, game every fucking day. There's basically a game every day is what it feels like. And then you think about the actual players themselves and you're like, yeah, it's they're probably pretty tired too.
I don't think about the players. They're just names on my FPL page.
They just see some chaotic games. And I'm like, yeah, they're probably all fucking dead and can't feel their legs, but otherwise, good.
One team we know that definitely is dead is Newcastle.
Newcastle's hurting. It's just so much chaos. Yeah, what's up? How's your team doing?
Terrible, as usual.
You're not vibing, I think.
No, I'm about to vibe. I'm done. I'm done with the season, so I'm gonna just be doing fun things from now on.
Yeah, I think
the coin has tipped over to the. I gave the coin to the ferryman to take me to Hades this weekend. So I'm just gonna. If you think Trips is gonna be on my team next week, you are incorrect. I'm in a
Let's look at
players.
Team Walsh here. First of all, cap Darwin over Mo.
Well, you know what I did? No, hang on.
Okay.
He got more points than Haaland, which is exactly what I expected. So
exactly what you expected. So get fucked.
Ding.
Cap
Ding.
Darwin over Mo while telling me Mo is a stupid bad cap.
Yep.
And he's your least favorite player in the league. So we got to get that away. Meanwhile, your other worst least favorite player in the league, Trips, gets a negative one and suspension.
You actually just laid the trap for me with Trips. You were laying the trap for me with Trips in game week like 5 or something.
Still think he's a great pick. So I don't think it's a trap.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not bringing him in the week he's suspended, but he's close to my team. But yeah, you got 49, 45 with the hit, which weirdly, very surprisingly to me, is exactly average for the elite teams. I mean, I thought that everyone had the Mo Vice, but it turns out people had Darwin Vice, Bruno Vice, like all this weird ass shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mo Vice ended up being like a fucking huge haul.
Yeah. And I mean, I hit in Brandt, so that was a good, those were good transfers.
I mean, both your you didn't have any players this week, so even Saka's two-pointer was a good transfer. It's like all points were positive for you this week.
Jesus Christ. And the other thing I mentioned to you, which is just sheer comedy, my last goalkeeper clean was in the month of September.
Unbelievable.
It's just so good. It's so good.
You have the two best keepers in the game, and they both get 2 points.
It's great. What about you? Let's see your flight. I'm on 67. Dude, you're 39K.
Yeah, 39K.
You are fat, I'm so proud
fat of you. 50K green.
You keep us respectable.
Yeah, thank you. Benched another POW clean, which is just like the back-to-back City Arsenal clean for POW. Insane.
I mean, they don't clean all year. And then the two hardest fixtures of the season, they're just easy clean, easy clean, easy clean.
Which, ironically, I feel like we actually do talk about that quite a bit. Usually not for Villa. But when we're talking about like City, Liverpool, Arsenal, are like, oh, they lose focus. They let up a dumb goal, whatever, in the games they win. That was like almost the case for Villa in these games. They were so intense.
Yeah, but dude, the same does not... I mean, you can't apply the same lens, but yeah.
I know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Son, humongous haul, Mo, Vice, obviously, Jalv, typical Jalv 5-pointer when he could have had a 15-pointer. Dom, great fixture, finally came through, and yeah, everyone else blanked. Little did I know while it was happening, I'm fucking flying, but I am fucking flying.
Yeah. Every week, you have new ways every week to fly. Like different guys. If you have a good team,
that just like happens. Yeah.
Sometimes it's Gordon with a 13. Sometimes it's Palmer with a 10. And yeah, you've just been steadily chipping up their ranks.
Right? I mean, like people, we've been saying this for a decade now that it's a
dude, you wanted to hit him out this week.
Come on. Calm down.
Come on.
I was talking. Talk. Everyone is on the table in my team. In reality,
you are about to go off Holland out. Son, you're trying to hit him out this week. You're
I should have hit Holland out, not Son.
A sentence like that. You fucking look at who you're talking. Look me in the face when you talk to me.
Yeah, I'm looking, but we say this for a decade that having all the good picks is a differential, right? Son,
yeah, you don't have trips. You know, you have the good pick,
but Son is only 70% owned in the elite teams. That stunned me. That floored me.
Well, he had to have gotten sales after like the
blanks a little in a row bit, but he's closer to like Gordon in ownership than he is to Mo and Holland in ownership. And as you stack these guys up on each other, it's like, you know, Ollie's 35%, Jalv is 30%, Poro's 35% in the elite teams, and it's just like you have more and more good picks. Your team gets more and more. It looks more and more template, but it's actually you're getting like a lot of differential points against the teams that you're really competing against. It's just one of those things that it's just like a mental block that we all have.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, yes, we finally Son got a penal, and also very interestingly, it seems like over the span of just two sheer game weeks, Son actually has a left foot.
Yeah.
Which I was astounded. I was literally my mouth was agape while I was watching this transpire, that he actually went to the left, the direction of left, using his left foot like multiple times in the game. It was unbelievable.
He was I don't know what was happening. He fucking put a fork in Trips.
He was because he's fucking sick of Edward's lies. He did it for us. He did it for all of us, I think.
Yeah, and Rich, it only took him 16 game weeks to become the actualized we've been saying since the summer. He's the best pick in the game. And Rich is going to really be a fucking hour-long segment on the postmortem about how right we were and we just got unlucky. I swear to fucking God, that's the case.
I will not participate in that part of the conversation, but we will certainly talk about him.
We got the starting striker at 7 million for the like fourth or fifth best attack in the league. You know?
And he's terrible, and he played himself out of the position, which was always an option, and that's one of the realities that occurred. Well, thousands of minutes will tell you otherwise, so we'll see how the cookie crumbles in the coming months.
Spinetto is still top of the mug league. Bone Seekers, Ben Martin's in second. This is Elway and Jack Elwood. Witness the fitness in third. Oh, actually, there's a tie for third in the mug league with him.
How the
Christopher
fuck
Solberg, aka
Vanga three Boys. Cleans in a row.
Oh yeah, Pickford, by the way, best pick in the game. Actual best pick in the game.
Oh my god!
I don't know what the fuck he's doing. And then Dan Carillo, still top of the public league, and I confirmed that it is the Dan Carillo who's a patron, and he's in our Discord and isn't in the mug league because he just like didn't know how to do it.
Love that. That's a man after my own heart.
And he dropped big this week, but he's still top 1,000 in the world. So he's fucking.
But you're coming for him, so.
I'm on your ass, Dan. I still haven't even wildcarded. Look out. Where do you want to begin? Do we have to start with Holland?
I want to just talk about Spuds. This is a fucking Spuds pod, baby. This is Spud innings pod.
News to me. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, Rich, what the fuck?
Elrond is Rich once again, the best pick in the game.
Rich. So what do you, I mean, what do you pull out of this with the Richening?
He's just, I don't know. The thing that I don't know is if he's actually going to be starting there moving forward. Is this just a tactical thing so Sun could abuse trips all game? Like, those are questions that we cannot answer. And therefore, we don't know if he's going to start games, Rich. And so we can't really pick him, right? But if he was, if there was a world where he's just, Andrew's like, no, what I started with in the season is truly what I believe in is the best. You know, like, Rich down the middle, Sun on the left is the way forward. And he was just nailed, then yeah, I'd fucking bring him in a heartbeat. Like, literally would take nothing more than that to just be like, oh, he's an incredible pick, and I bring him in. But we can't. Just can't.
Yeah. It's just really difficult because Ange is proving to be somewhat of a fraudulent personnel picker.
It's just like, sad because the Premier League turned him into a liar. Because, well, like, early doors, he wasn't lying. And then now he just says but nothing or bullshit or vague.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I just mean in terms of the actual teams he's picking. Mm. Like, it was pretty steady for a while, but all of a sudden he just drops Sarin. Like, he takes GLC out, even though he's been one of the best players. And then he puts Kulu back inside. Like, he was just playing on the wing for a couple games. Right. It's like every couple games, he does something dramatically different. And I don't understand what he's doing. I also am extraordinarily. I don't think there's a player I dislike watching. He's on the list. Sar
Romero
does my fucking head in. I don't understand what his instructions are. Like, he's just
crash the box.
He's just like in the picture and he does nothing. Like, he doesn't do anything. I don't understand. It's insane.
Yeah, but he's like the off ball eight who like crashes the box.
He just occupies space and doesn't touch and doesn't link up and doesn't build up and doesn't shoot. Like, he just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that enables other things. I mean, I'm not smart enough to know about such stuff, but I mean, and it could have just been, even though he has been subbing GLC off early in these other games, that he just didn't want to give him another 60.
Yeah, he's still off along injury, right? And all that shit. And,
but I mean, there's
so much rotation in this period. I mean, how many lineups this week were just like, wow, these four guys aren't in there? Like, what the hell?
I know. But it feels really weird to me because we saw so many games of this setup with Rich not working that, I mean, is it a function, or is it a matter of just, you know, Sun had an incredible game from the left when we saw him play every game from the left do nothing until he stopped playing from the left.
Right.
I mean, maybe everyone was new, like maybe now he has a better idea of where he's supposed, I mean, all those things, you can kind of create a story there, but.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some Rich games where I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe how bad he is, right? No shots, no touches, subbed at 50, like nightmare.
Give the ball away.
Yeah, but there were also some games where it was like, he got some good chances and just didn't score. Right? And like, this was just a game where he got enough chances that he did score two of them. But yeah, I mean, Sun was obviously ridiculous and made it very easy for him, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, it's just more how much of a leap of faith is it to put him back in? Because we're still not expecting Matto back really anytime soon. So, like, also, what is the lineup? Yeah.
No, I was just going to mention also, you know, Asian Cup stuff. Like, what does that mean for Spurs? Because no matter how many guys have been injured, they're still really, really attacking, right? Like, nonstop attack. So, Sun's going to be missing. I mean, I can't imagine a world where Rich isn't, you know, center forward for those three-ish game weeks when Sun's in the Asian Cup, right? Like that, yeah, that has to happen.
Yeah, he
has. So maybe part of this is also like prep for this is our striker for the next, you know, seven game weeks or something like that. And, you know, I mean, you know how I feel about Heal, but dropping Heal and putting Sun at wing and Richard Stryker, I thought was a huge upgrade. And it, you know, worked.
It was this on game. This day. Yeah, yeah, it was on this day game. For sure. Yeah. I guess it's just, yeah, how much of a leap of faith do you think it is? Like, we know that PJ and Kulu and Sun are in every team. So basically, you're looking at like Rich, Sar, Lo Celso, I mean, Hoge and Basuma. Fucking Basuma, right? I mean, how defensive does he want to be? Who is he picking of those players? Like, when, you know, because if Sun's playing striker, then it's a more of a defensive lineup because he's picking an extra kind of DM-y guy. And I mean, they're playing at home and they played with just, you know, Sar doing whatever that is the fuck that he does in Basuma. And that was more than enough.
Right.
And, you know, you look at the fixtures they have to come in the near term and they're all bad teams.
Right.
Basically. I mean, teams that just like don't, no top four teams in the next 2 months or whatever. And, you know, maybe that's something he's going to.
Yeah, and
spend more time on.
Yeah, and South Korea are one of the better teams, right? So you'd expect them to go relatively far. So, like, let's just call it game week 24, 25-ish when Sun is back. So if you think that Rich is starting, let's just say, 6 of the next 8, which does not feel like a big stretch to me at all. I mean, there's this one more pileup before normally spaced matches and some rest, right? And so barring injury, I mean, he seems like a good pick right now to me.
Yeah.
Actually a good pick.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, and they fucking... I actually thought that for the first hour-ish, it was more of an even game than the score was. I mean, I know it was 2-0, but Newcastle were also getting big chances. It wasn't like it was just like a battering ram of sorts. But once it went 3-0, Newcastle were just like, this game's over. Get me the fuck out of here. Yeah. Spurs just piled on another like 1.5 XG after that point. And Poro was fucking amazing. Kulu is amazing when he's in the middle. Yeah, Spurs are good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was also the other tale of two things, I think, that can't be not mentioned is Newcastle playing literally the same 11 every game with 2 days off and having basically no subs. I mean... Yeah.
I think they played the same 11 for 5 straight games with 2 to 3 days off in between every game.
Yeah, so... And I mean, I was multiple thinking,
knocks, too, right? Like, people forgot about that. Like, Lascelles had a knock. I forget. They had, like, 2 other people who were, like, dead leg and shit.
Yeah, and I mean, the trips yellow actually makes a lot of sense because they have midweek. I mean, he can't play 6 games in 10 days.
Yeah,
so, no chance. I mean, if you would take one... and miss a game, it should be the Fulham game because they have the big, huge Champions League game this week. Yeah. So, you know, that adds up for them. But, you know, they've just been, it's crazy. I mean, they just looked terrible again. I mean, away, they just shipped
their
3
away
and 4.
Their away form's insane.
Yeah, they lose every game away. So,
Barrack, before we move on, Barrack had this question, which I just thought was almost funny. I mean, he said, assuming you can only have one, Sun or Saka, how do you weigh Sun's ceiling with Saka's floor? I mean, there is not a single world in the universe where you have Saka over Sun.
It's I'm sure there are many worlds and universes. I'm sure many people have that.
But if they're stupid and bad at the game.
Well, you weren't asking me if you should hit Saka out this week. You were asking me if you should hit Sun out. Bro. So...
Saka wasn't crying in agony, asking for his mama on the sideline after he limped off the field. It's a little bit different.
I mean, Sun, especially with Pinal's confirmed, just, I think they're very similar kind of picks, though, honestly. I do think that they're pretty similar. I mean, Sun...
I don't think they're similar. I think Sun is way, way, way better.
I think he's... He's several less ways better. I mean, if I'm picking one, I would pick Sun, but he also shows this, you know, he can blank just like anyone else. Like, he can blank with the best of them. And sometimes Spurs barely create. I mean, we've just seen them for several games barely create anything.
Totally. And, I mean,
they, you know, that exists. So,
and Saka,
you know,
Saka ticks.
Finds, yeah. Tuck
but when Sun returns, he gets 20, 14, 14, yep. 10, 10, 17. Yeah. He has fucking a million double-digit hauls. And when Sokka returns, it's 5.
Yeah, or 8.
I mean, he has one. He has 2 double digits. He had a worldie in Game Week 1, and he had a goal assist max bones against Spurs in Game Week 6.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I just brought him in, so that's, you know, where that's going. He's going to start doing nothing for quite a while. Yeah. I might get rid of him right now.
I mean, honestly, the points, like, you know, sorting my total points is usually, like, meaningless, but, I mean,
it's not that meaningless.
Yeah, I mean,
we Sun do play the game for points.
Sun has 19 more points than him. And the first 3 games, he started a wing and didn't take a single shot, I don't think, in any of those games.
There you go.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Newcastle, though. I mean, TuneIn Rice said, any read what's going on in Newcastle? And Jeff said, you know, with trips out against Fulham, they're then away at Luton, which is now tough. And then following Forest, they have Liverpool, Man City, Aston Villa. With their defense now on the 5th string players, is time to sell trips. So, did you already get rid of him, or are you going to get rid of him after, you know, on Friday or something?
There is literally 0% chance he will be in my team at the weekend, but I want to wait at least until the games are done. So, I know, in addition to the 4... No.
How many flags do you have?
The 5 players that I have that are not eligible to play this weekend. You have 5
red flags?
Yeah. Oh,
Trips, Branth, Chuuk, Chaz Taylor, and you're and including Holland in that?
Yeah. So, but I want to see. I might get more. So, it'll just all... I want more information.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
They're getting a little healthier, I think. Like, Jacob Murphy's kind of close. I think Barnes is getting a little bit closer.
I've heard Botman's progressing really well.
Yeah, he's progressing. He's on the grass. Wilson played, so they don't have just Isak Solomente. You know, I mean, it's getting a little bit better. Low-key
also been a disaster. I mean, he's
not even getting chances, really. I mean, he's like one a game or so, but he's not doing the points.
Then Callum subs on and immediately contributes to a goal. I mean,
Well, they're back to both not being picks, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess Callum.
They forever exist in not being picks, purgatory or whatever. But I mean, Trips, I still think he's a good pick, starting in game week 18. But, you know, obviously in that tough run, you don't expect many cleans, especially 2 of them are away.
Yeah, he's a good pick starting 18, and then he's a bad pick starting game week 20, and then he's a good pick again starting game week 23. So,
which for me means he's a good pick, right? It's like, if he has 3 bad fixtures in the next 7 because he's suspended this week, that's a good pick.
The thing that, so there's 2 things with Newcastle, I think. Firstly, in the immediate, you know, handful of games before, the injuries speak very loudly where there's a pile up and they're just overstressed. Like, he's just not being able to rotate anyone, and they are clearly all dead ass tired and they can't do the shit they normally do. So they just look bad. Fine. The away form is something more profound, though, to me, because it was going on since game week 1. And when you look at someone like Trips in the game of, you know, he falls into these assists for this very little narrow window where they had some really easy fixtures, and you know, he got some, and then he got all those hauls, right?
And like all of them, yeah,
yeah. But this is a player I believe you need to rotate, and at $7 million in defense,
yeah,
that's not acceptable. You know what I mean? It's just not. You know, you. I get it. You know, the pricing, blah, blah, blah. Holland's hurt now. Okay, fine. But however you set your team up, whatever you want to do, I mean, you're just shitting yourself in the face if you're starting him in these tricky away games. Even home games against good teams, I think, are like iffy. But, you know, you want to bench him for like 13 fixtures a season, I think. Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. And at maybe more. You know, maybe it's a little closer to like 16, 17. You know, the top four at home and then, you know, top 10 away, you know, plus or minus, depending on the flavor. That's not good enough to me to spend $7 million on a defender, honestly. And, you know, that's just kind of how I see him. And I think he's either someone where you set your team up where you can do that, or, you know, you just hope to get lucky, which, you know, like he got 9 against Arsenal at home.
Right. 1-0, I think at home they're startable no matter the opponent. Honestly, I do. But
yeah,
I hear you. I'm not going to argue against any of that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the away stuff is... Yeah, I mean, you almost either don't get him or you believe that they're going to pick up their away form and this is just a weird, you know, half of the season.
Well, because I just did that and he got me, you know, 2 points a game for the last 5, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, negative that, one, don't do one, that. 12, I tried that.
One, one.
Yeah, yeah, I tried that. Didn't work. It's not the answer.
Yeah. Definitely been very frustrating. I wonder if like everyone's going to get rid of him this week or are people going to just kind of paper over it with their like fourth defender or whatever.
Yeah, no. I mean, good managers would not sell him. I think good managers would do what I just said.
Keep him
and adjust the rest of the defense to not have two like Chaz Taylor anymore, you know, and bench him, you know, like bench him when he's at Liverpool, bench him home city, bench him at Villa. I mean, those are games where he's not going to get more than like 2 points in those 3 games combined. He also can't run or play defense, so he's going to get yellow cards in those games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it basically takes like an assist off a corner or a worldy free kick goal to not get ones or zeros in those games. And that was even the case last year. I mean, like,
he has one goal in 6,000. He doesn't fucking score goals.
No, but last year, I remember this exact thing happening. I mean, we had him since game week one, and he was great, but there was like an away city. And I think it was a 3-3. We all benched him because obviously away city, and he scored a free kick goal. That was his one.
That was
goal.
His only
free
goal
kick,
of the year.
Free kick worldie, and he got like a 9-pointer, and that made it seem like he was a lot more consistent than he was. Because it's like that should have been a negative one, you know. But
he's a nightmare.
But we got to talk about Holland in that context, right? Because as you said. And we obviously know no information. I mean, he might just play Palace. We have no fucking idea. But if we're all transferring him out, if that world happens, then all of a sudden we just have unlimited money and everyone could do buyer to trips and, you know, fucking Gahee to Trent and you're fine, you know, like, so what do we do? Phoenix's question is just, what do we do about Holland? Lil Slurp said, do we sell Holland and then buy him back when we sell Mo for AFCON? And for now, we just wait and hope for news, right?
Well, they're playing midweek, so, I mean, there are at least more times for Pep to be bald and fraudulent in front of microphones and say things about his team. Ultimately, it doesn't really make any sense to hold him. I mean, no one has value in him. He's the exact same price he was when he started, and he's not playing game week after Palace. So even if you're using two transfers or you're getting him back for Everton or, you know, you're waiting and seeing, it's 2 days off or whatever between Everton and Sheffield. I'm in before the break. I mean, I think you are going to be okay to just not have him for a few weeks till after the January break, you know? I mean, at Everton, home Sheffield, if he's feeling shit, they're not going to like brush him for these games, you know? I mean, their entire season depends on his health, right?
Well, also because it's not even that simple. I mean, the reason they have the blank is they're flying to fucking Saudi Arabia to play the Club World Cup.
Right.
So they're going to be over there.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll obviously know by then, right? Because if he's playing in those games and they're flying, it's like, okay, he's fine. And it's back to me just thinking, I don't care how close the fixtures are, they're going to play these games. Like, last year we saw... In times when like Pep would have rested Aguero, Haaland started every game. It didn't matter. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Like right now, probably going to get rid, and everyone probably should, with a plan to get him back, I think, in 19. Because again, by then, we'll know he's probably fit. It's over 2 weeks away, yada, yada, yada. But yeah. And then,
plan is easy. I mean, we have these Mo and Son are both $5 million. So much, so expensive. So you get like, you know, you get $5 million there. You just go to a midfield guy. You just get him back. It's not going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I guess the only fear is that, like, let's see, Son in 19 and 20 is at Brighton, easiest clean of his, easiest goal fest of his life, and then home Bournemouth, so you don't want to lose those matches. Mo's at Burnley, home Newcastle. I mean, you don't want to lose those.
Don't have Haaland for a game or two. It's like, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, but that is the risk, right? Like that, it's easier said than done to not have Haaland for home Chef U in game week 20, but he might score 5, so it's scary.
I mean, that's
when I'm going to use my wild card, I guess.
It's the hoodoo. Well, you got it. I mean, you better fucking use it. You have 4 game weeks to go.
I'm definitely going to use it, but that's going to be how I get him back. I just think other people should have a plan to get him back.
Yeah, but, sure.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's if you go down to any, you know, between 6 to 8 million forward, and then you get Trent for this cheap guy, like all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're also never going to be too far away, though. I mean, you'll always double be a move. Save and a hit, a triple move, you know, whatever, to get him back in, or a double move. So,
yeah, just plan for that, I think. You know, if it's not actually something bad and we're to believe Pep, which is funny, it's a sentence to say out loud, then he'll be back for 19 probably. So, but then who do we get? So, 19. You know, Phoenix has, you know, Villa and Bournemouth seem to be the form teams. Bear said, is it Solanke time? Bunch of people asking if Jim is back to pre-helmet form. Mike asking, is Jalv essential if Haaland is out? Yeah.
I mean, I don't really... I mean, Foden was the best player on the pitch for FPL in that game by a lot to me.
Jack, I thought, honestly.
I mean, come on, though. He was doing the same exact thing he always does. He just happened to score a goal.
Well, he had a big chance and created a big chance, and that's basically all City did all game.
He was doing the literal exact role as he always had. But Foden was like getting, like, he was in the middle of the box, like, multiple times, like, doing some striker shit that was atypical of him, I think. But so, I mean, for Jal, it was another one of those where it's just like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just a bad pick. I have no idea. He certainly gets points, he's a bad pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, he is Saka. I mean, like, right, he's a 5-point floor kind of guy. Well, not actually, because he's been blanking for fun lately, but he gets 5-pointers for fun, and he could get 15 points in any of these games. I mean, he could have easily had goal assist in this game, probably gets max bones, and we're just like, fucking incredible pick. He's on a 12-pointer.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a long time, and his returns are 5-2-2, 5-2-2. So I guess. I mean, we have him. We're going to be patient with him. But if I didn't have him,
is he the top transfer in? I guess is the question for forward.
He probably should be,
but he has the blank. Yeah, also,
that's
right.
True.
So
that's true.
That makes it weird. I mean, I think Dom looks incredible numbers. Good and fixtures. Incredible fixtures.
Yeah. Home Picks Luton, at NFO, box. Home Fulham, next 3. Watkins also, I think, is a good pick there.
Those are the obvious guys, I think. Ollie's starting at 18. This is great. Oh, Darwin. You want to talk about Darwin?
No, he's not.
Your favorite player in the league?
He's such a nightmare. I mean, Jesus also still looks like very... He looked really good to me in the Villa game.
He was great.
And they have home Brighton. I mean, at Liverpool's tough, but then they have a good run, you know,
at Liverpool's tough, but like there's chances to score, you know, like I expect Arsenal to score in that game, you know?
Yeah. And they have home West Ham, at Fulham, home Palace, at NFO. So Jesus is a name, I think, also. But it probably just that. You know, there's four.
Yeah, I don't think you have to go any further.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Are you going to cap? Assuming Haaland's out.
Mo, by a lot. They're playing Man United. You know what he does to them? Are you kidding me? It's not even a fucking question. I was going to cap him before Haaland was hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that was Jitterbug's question. He says, is this a classic week to ignore the fixture difficulty in Captain Mo versus Man United?
That's not even a hard fixture. What do you mean, ignore the... You don't have to ignore... You incorporate the fixture difficulty.
Man United are dog shit, and
they destroy them all the time.
When you look at the fixtures, there's not even another great shout.
Yeah, there really isn't.
Even like Dom, I mean... Bournemouth have been playing well, but as the team plays better, this is like some other graph that we need to make, but as the team plays better, they're less reliant on one player doing literally everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other shout would be Saka, honestly.
Yeah, which I don't know what things would have to happen for a world for me to captain Saka. I just don't think he's near a captaincy type of player.
Yeah, that's fair. And also, I think he would be my second choice this week.
I would punt probably. If I was a team like without Mo, I would punt on someone else to just like explode or something. Fucking Captain Callum or Jalve or Raz or fucking Son. He's at NFO. Like they're a fucking mess. You know, like some I think someone like that is where I'd rather go. And just try and get lucky. But yeah, Mo is pretty easy.
Yeah, it's Mo. Mo does the things against Man U. You want to be here.
He does
for that.
The things when he plays fucking terribly. I mean that.
Yeah,
he's just always in and around everything. 200 goddamn goals, fucking Mo.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions. Unless there's another game you want to talk about.
No, yeah, let's go fire through some of them.
So Sakov and Bolters at Fulham have 16 goals in their last four. Is there a pick? What the hell?
I wish there was a pick, but there's just absolutely no pick here.
I wish that there was a game, and I'm sure people who play draft right now are like, play fucking draft, FPL, whatever. But there's just not, like, the game doesn't permit, like, Harry Wilson. You know, I'm not going, like, Jim over Ollie or Dom or something. I'm sorry, I'm just not. So, yeah, there's not a pick.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there, though. It's very confusing.
I have no idea. They just happen to be the ones who... they love a fixture pileup, apparently, is what we've learned.
I mean, the amount of goals they've scored recently is actually startling. I mean, they've scored like 15 goals in the last four games.
I'd love to see a list of teams who scored who won back-to-back 5-0s.
I know. Yeah, it's probably very
it's
hard
probably
to find.
Like
it's probably
one time Pep City, one time Liverpool Klopp, and that's like fucking it. I don't even know.
Yeah, but I mean this team went from being among the worst team performance wise all year months into scoring at will. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Jim's just doing, he looks like he's old,
pre-helmet.
Like old vintage. Yeah, pre eye patch. And
They had 10 goals in the first 12. They have 16 in the last four.
Yeah. I mean, they're just hitting everyone. I mean, their movement is so different than it was previously. Like, everyone is interchanging all over the place. It's like nobody has a position, and it's so hard to deal with. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, I think, actually. A month or two ago, you look at this like, oh, St. James, like Fulham going up there, like this is going to be a joke. And
this could be a 5-0 Newcastle.
They could easily win the game.
So many problems.
I mean, Newcastle are going to be hungover from the Italy game. And
yep. Yeah, I wonder it's going to be interesting to see how Newcastle like decide to progress the ball and create chances. Like, it's going to be Hall, Livermento, right? And that changes so much for them because Trips is so much.
Yeah, he does so
ball
much
progression. Everything is get the ball to Trips and then the attack begins. So that'll also be really interesting to see how Hall does, because I think he's really good, right? And Livermento's really good. So,
yeah, for sure.
Shot said, do I play Semenyo, home Luton, or Tsimikas, home Man United this week?
That's pretty close, great. Actually. Yeah.
Man, I gotta look up Semenya's recent numbers.
Semenya barely gets an hour. I'd probably play Shimkus.
Yeah, he never plays.
Daniil was going nuts about Shimkus.
Was he again?
Yeah.
On what pod?
The review. They were talking about him on the review, and they were just like, basically, their assessment was the first 15 minutes, we were all over the show and there for the taking. And Shimkus was the sole reason why Liverpool didn't capitalize, because he was fucking everything up, which I barely remember, but
I don't remember that at all. We were kind of watching that together on Discord. I don't really remember that at all. I just remember him not being involved. Yeah. But maybe when they watched it back, it was the kind of thing where it was like, there's so much space
to exploit. Yeah, but with and he Joel should Ward be there. He's too slow, or he's passing, or he's taking touches. He's not shooting. Yeah. He's just doing the thing that he normally does. And
He was really good in a few games in a row before this. So I still think he'll start, but it's interesting with the how good Joe Gomez was at right back and moving Trent inside. Like, there's something there. Like, I honestly don't know who our fullbacks are going to be for the next few, if he's going to diddle with Trent in midfield and just like Simi and Gomez there. It's kind of interesting.
I mean, we could spend a long time talking about that game, but I don't particularly want to.
No. Stoffy said, with clean sheets at a premium this season, are Everton now the go-to, or is Bournemouth the way to go? Mikulenko and Senesi in my thoughts.
Bournemouth.
Dude, you nailed... Dude, the Bournemouth... It's so good because the Bournemouth shit wasn't even just a clean. Senesi 15-pointer, Neto 7-pointer. Didn't someone else get a return? No, that was it, Senesi. But still, it was just like fucking Bournemouth, baby. They're so good. They're actually so good. They're so fun to watch.
So
they
funny,
just
man.
Completely exploited everything Man United does poorly. They made a complete mockery of McTominay. It's great. It was just great. It was great to see. But yeah, Brandt is great too. You just brought him in.
Yeah. I mean, he and it was going back to the Newcastle game. He was struggling to finish that game, but there were many moments where it looked like he was going to get subbed early in the Chelsea game.
Yeah.
I mean, his yellow card was very aggravating to watch because it was such a not needed yellow card position
dive
thing
into
to
a
do.
Leg. Yeah.
Yeah. Just... When they have Burnley next, but, I don't know what to make of Everton, honestly. I mean, they're
just really good.
Fine. Yeah, they're a fine team, but the clean sheets stun me because, I mean, this is...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to, you know, when Dyche was at Burnley, and I feel like they just, like, ground games out so much more.
They're totally different. They're such a different team. Yeah.
At Burnley, like, his objective was to make so much less of the game happen. And they do that somewhat in the same way at Everton in terms of the time wasting and, you know, the amount of time Fuckford takes on goal kicks. Like, he'll always have that going. But just, like, anti-football isn't happening. And also, they're sort of just dominating, like, stretches of games, which, I mean... I don't know. I mean, it's kind of astonishing to me. I mean, he has all these like workman-like midfielders with like Doucouré and McNeil who defends and tracks back, and Garner and Harrison who tracks back. Like, they're all two-way players, and then they have an absolute donkey shithouse up front. I mean, DCL is... he's just something. I don't know what to even talk, how to say anything about him, but like they just outwork every other team in midfield, and they just dominate midfield every game.
Yeah, the press is really, really good. And I just think Dyche is just clearly a very good manager. I mean, he did what he had to do, sort of, with Burnley. Those teams were so fucking awful. Well, and last year, it was very similar. And now he has just a much more talented team, and he's just turned them into, like, a very good team. I mean, they're just playing fucking really well. I don't love them for cleans either because, I mean, I don't think it's one of those things that in real life, I think he's doing a good job. I don't think they should be playing for cleans at all the time. It's like you want higher variance games if you're creating the majority of the chances, right? You want an up and down game if you're like doubling the other team's XG, which is kind of what they're doing. So
they don't even let chances up.
Yeah, I mean, they let counters up, and then like Brandt makes a big play, or Pickford's been making a bunch of good saves lately.
One of the midfielders just makes a challenge, and the counters ends. Like, I mean, Gay makes eight fouls before he gets his first yellow card. Usually, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I do like them for cleans, though. I really, honestly, I do.
You gotta rotate them, though.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their fixtures. Spurs, home city, Villa.
They play
City twice
in the next seven games. So and Spurs, they play Spurs and City twice in the next eight.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the window or the run upcoming is tough, but I think, I mean, Goodison looks back to a place that's like a actively bad fixture all around. They've been playing really well at home, and you know, of course you want to rotate. I mean, you're not starting them against top four, top six kind of attacks, but they just, I don't know. Yeah. They've just been playing really well. And it looks like they just have a better understanding. He's been picking a pretty consistent team for a little while now, which matters, I think, a lot. And, you know, I mean, Harrison, like Harrison and McNeil, honestly, like, I don't think either, I've criticized both of them heavily over the last handful of years, but for, like, this team and what they're trying to do and what he wants them to do, they're perfect. Like, they're just perfect.
Which, again, credit to Dyche. He saw what he has. He made a team that suits it.
Yeah.
Like, Decore is like, get away from midfield. You can't pass. You're not a midfielder. Just press and be up top. You're a second striker.
He just gets chances and gets goals.
Yeah. He's just a fucking nine and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that works for him. He's not a liability anymore. And he's not, you know, making huge questionable red card challenges like he used to. And, you know, they're just in good shape right now. And they look like they have a good direction. And they're playing well. So
I do think Ducore is a sneaky pick.
But the fixtures are tough. Like, green back the good run. Him.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a weird team, but he would have to kind of be your fourth, fifth guy that you're rotating with Palmer or something weird like that, and you just start him in like the bankers, and he has fucking goals in him. I mean, he has scored many Premier League goals. It's not like this is like a complete freak. He has good numbers, good goals, but I did forget to mention when we were talking about Spurs, just that when you were talking about when the most like annoying player for you is Sarr, I was dead set that you were going to say Romero not getting a red card. I was just, are you fucking kidding me? This violent conduct moron. He drives me up a wall. I cannot stand Romero. I mean, he shouldn't be in the fucking league.
I'm just over. It's been too many years. I'm like desensitized to his.
I'm not desensitized because he should get more than a 3-game ban for violent conduct because he's so consistently violent conducting.
He should be like the Broncos guy who got all those fucking.
There you go.
You know who I'm talking
about? The Bengals guy.
No, no, no. Broncos. I think he had four suspensions this year already.
I thought you were talking about the past Bengals guy. I can't remember his name. Concussing everyone.
Perfect.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No, this guy's way worse than that. He's had already like four helmet-to-helmet suspensions.
It's just fucking
in the
insane. Like,
he gets ejected every other game.
They're endangering all these players. It's horrible. Yeah. But yeah, Stoffy's question for cleans. Yeah, I mean, I think Everton's decent. I'm not a huge fan, but if you rotate Bournemouth, good for the next three, you know, like you would start your guy for the next three, I think is fine. Who else do you like? Cheap defenders. I mean, Graham Bergler said, is Pau the defender we've been looking at for under five? I mean, Villa got through the brutal games, somehow cleaned both of them. At Brentford is no longer that bad with no Bumo. I mean, for a clean, they've just got completely dominated by Sheffield United. And then they have a good run. I do think Pau's a good pick.
I don't think he's a good pick.
Why?
They don't keep cleans all year. I mean, they had two really tight, like intense games, and I think they just played up to the level. But I don't think just the infrastructure of their defense is gonna all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, we just keep cleans now.
I don't know. Like, I just dropping don't think cash that's and having Konsa in there, I think adds a lot of defensive stability for them. And you know, they've just been playing so well. Yeah. I just think good fixtures. They'll keep some cleans.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to keep zero, but I think that they are closer to the team that, you know, consistently let up a goal rather than a team that, you know, smothers and
they definitely
and cleans,
let up chances.
You know?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, it's, again, they play that you know, live by the sword, die by the sword with the line, and it just takes, you know, up one time, you know,
I thought Arsenal, I thought Arsenal actually played so well and
could have scored two or three. I think Arsenal winning that game on balance of the performances would have been a fair result to me.
They were great. And they really were. I thought they had a few, so that's a weird one.
That game was a weird one for sure.
Yeah. Terp said, is it soon time for the annual streak of city cleans where people with double defense fly? I think he's on wild card. He's probably getting in fucking Ederson or something, Terp.
Well, I mean, he just brought in fucking Reece James.
Well, that's so why he's wild carding.
Yeah, he has a wild card.
And obviously, I think they're going to clean soon. I brought in Stones. He didn't start. Yeah. I think he'll start going forward.
What are we doing with this team? I mean, City are fucking so bizarre this year, dude.
I just still think they're the best team in the league and they're just going to keep cleans and win majority of games and all that stuff. But obviously they're shallow and they can't sustain an injury / suspension crisis. I mean, that's very obvious, but
they have four cleans this year.
I mean, Diaz continues to be a fucking fraud. I mean, he is frauding every day of his life.
Oh my God.
I don't think Eddie's been good this year either.
He was good against Luton.
There's been tons of goals.
Or Villa or whatever. He just played well recently.
Yeah, not Luton. But there's been tons of goals where it's just like, he probably should have saved that like over and over again. And they, you know, they concede one a game. Classic. But yeah, I mean, I do still back the team. I mean, they're still title favorites by a lot for a reason. I mean, they're going to go on a run at some point where they win like 10 to 15 games in a row. We just don't know exactly when that's going to be yet.
I don't think I'm as bullish as you, honestly. Okay. I mean, I think the performances, I think you need to pay a little bit more attention to it than just the historical. And, you know, I mean, the performances are... Ruben is the worst player on the pitch every game he plays, and he just plays him every game. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I think anybody can make a side pass. Like, all he does is make side passes, can't turn, and last get caught ditch out.
Blocks that he celebrates like he won the fucking, you know, World Cup.
I mean, he has Akanji's literally right there. Like, he's just a strictly better right-sided center back than Ruben. He can move a little bit faster, and he can make a side or backwards pass just as well as anyone.
Yeah, he just didn't start last game.
But I mean, he has Ake and like he wants to play Gvardiol at actual left back. Like, go put play Gvardiol in the position, or you know, Stones is right there now. I mean, he has a lot of options. He keeps playing Ruben, but I mean, he's doing all kinds of crazy shit with his defense.
It's really weird.
And you know, Rodri. I mean, the midfield around Rodri is questionable. Like, Kovacic and Mateus Nunes are just not settled yet. And, you know, other like Rodri's just having Foden's to do been too much.
Good in midfield.
Yeah, Foden's always, you know, he's always going to be good in doing the things, but just the spine is just very questionable, I feel like. And I don't know.
I just back him to figure it out. It's not even that, like,
sure.
You know, I think this team playing this way is going to, you know, dominate, but.
Sure.
He always figures it out eventually, right? I mean, they dropped a ton of points last season by this point, and then they won the fucking treble, and we're just like the most unstoppable thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of injuries. Obviously, Kev may be back soon. Everyone's talking about it. He's in the squad for the Club World Cup. I don't know what the fuck that means. Maybe they just want to get him a medal, but maybe he's a month away, and that'll obviously help things a lot, having Kevin there. Rodri's back from his suspension.
Yeah, I mean, Stones, they probably are looking for that January 13 for Kev, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so he would miss three league games if he came back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll pick it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, dude.
We'll see. It definitely seems like we have a title race, which is fun.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Definitely fun. It just still comes back to me with them, those none of them have good attacking threat. And, you know, you're looking across... I think Stones does. I mean, come on, though. Does he really? He had a couple games. Like, last year, he scored two goals. I mean...
Two goals, two assists in 1,800 minutes. I mean...
But he's just a center back. Like, he's, you know...
I know, and but then he had that, that one, you know, there's a reason the people get something. Gabriel, right? Because he's a center back who gets his head on the ball, right? I mean, I think you know, Stones has no history.
Goals this year. Like, there's the variance of, you know, someone can score one goal or four goals. And I mean, but it's I'm not like, oh, Stones has threat. Like,
the reason you get the guys who get their head on the ball is because they score goals over the course of a season. You don't know when they're going to come. He's always been donging.
Yeah, but I don't think you're looking at, you know, you're looking across the defenders in the game and thinking, like, I want to get. Because I'm coming from, you know, getting guys who have attacking intent. Like, I just,
yeah,
like
center back. He's not Trent. He's not Poro. He's not Trips.
Yeah. So those, you know, I mean, yeah, I think there are just players around the league that if they're not cleaning at the rate that we're used to, and they haven't been this year, and there's good reason to believe that they may continue to struggle, that they have more flags than normal, I think, when we're usually in the last 5 years, just we always will back into, oh yeah, City will keep a bunch of cleans, get the minutes guy, you'll be fine. And, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the case this year for now.
Yeah. There certainly hasn't been so far.
Yeah. I think it's more midfield than the defenders, honestly.
I agree with that. Well, Diaz plus the midfield.
Yeah,
I mean,
Diaz
plus
is a problem. Yeah.
It's just like a bunch of weird problems.
There's no balance.
Pep loves to give self-sabotage himself into a weird problem to give him something to like figure out.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he didn't have to buy a bunch of like weird dribbly midfielders. Could have just bought a very Pep passing midfield. I mean, I guess you could say Calvin Phillips was supposed to be that guy. Obviously, that hasn't worked out. But like, could have just bought someone similar to Rodri to like sort of back up that position. But he's like, no, you know what? Mateus fucking Nunez is my guy. Like, Kovacic, 30-year-old, can never, ever stay fit, ever in his career.
Guess what?
That's still my guy. Fit. Oh, yeah, he's injured. Like, and he's a dribbly weird guy, too. He doesn't pass much. It's like, it's just a weird problem that he's given himself, but yeah. I think he'll figure it out.
I mean, it seems like he's actually trying to, he sees, like, this is where football's going, and I want to have a team of four center backs and one striker and five players that just carry the ball. And like, we're not going to pass anymore. Like, we're just going to
passing
do that.
Is over. Passing is over. 20 years old.
Yeah.
No
we
one
drive
does it
the
anymore.
Ball and then we either pass backwards and recycle and do it again, or we score a goal. Like, that's what they're doing.
It is really fun to just be like, okay, I have Erling Haaland. He's going to get me five shots a game and like one XG a game. How can I like break the rest of football because I have this like steady factual thing that's going to happen? It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But TJC said, is Saka worth the extra money over Odegaard? And if money's tight, is Bailey a pick? Well, Bailey might
Odegaard.
Be hurt. But yeah, Odegaard, we got to talk about Odegaard.
Dude, he's back, baby.
He's actually back.
Unreal. He could
what was his injury? Did we ever get news on whatever he was out with?
No, I don't know.
Because whatever it is, he's completely over it. Because he was awful in the first part of the season, did nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, he pressed and stuff, obviously. But like, he was not creating chances. He wasn't taking shots, all this shit. He's come back and just been a fucking monster back to what he was doing last season.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks just amazing.
I think he's another like very sleepery kind of pick that like if we all of a sudden have all this Haaland money and you can, you know, your seventh attacker can be Odegaard and you could be.
Is he better than Saka, do you think?
Maybe. I think it's really close. I think he might be better.
Because
he's
interesting
the one
thing,
getting on the end of these big chances, not Saka.
In the middle. Yeah. And that's what we saw for large stretches last year. That's what I was a big Odegaard guy last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing, too, like, is at Villa, right? You think, like, oh, yeah, well, Odegaard's, you know, the eight, it's a tough game away, and he's going to have to. He was getting every single good chance. Like, he was the guy. So
he could have scored two goals.
Yeah. So it's like even in the toughest fixtures, like they're still dominating and finding these spaces and getting in on the counters where, you know, the chances
like the
are coming to him.
Guy, almost. Yeah.
Like, and I mean, Saka also could have scored and.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really
he whiffed
good
like twice.
He whiffed twice.
He had two chances. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's both. I don't know. Maybe we're back to game week one. We're back to game week one of what we thought we were going to have, right?
Yeah, which is also very interesting timing, like coinciding with Mo and Son soon leaving. Is like we're going to fill our, you know, attack with players that no one has because everyone's kind of on Haaland, Son, and Mo. And Haaland might be hurt and then he's blanking. Mo and Son are going to leave and no one has a lot of these guys that we're like going to bring in. So it's kind of like an interesting time of the season, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to, I think we're going to see a lot of divergence of teams, you know, yeah, once.
Which I love.
Yeah. We have Holland Hurt, the blank, Asia shit, AFCON shit. You know, yeah. Everyone's going to kind of have to figure out where we're going from here. And
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be so obvious of like, oh, it's this guy or it's that guy. I mean, we're looking at now all of a sudden there are no premiums in the game. That's never happened before. Like everyone is 8-5 or less.
Yeah.
So good luck, you know?
Yeah. People are going to talk themselves into all kind of crazy shit in this period. It's just going to be madness. Two more questions. Ben said, do I bench Palmer or Gordon this game week? So Palmer's home Sheffield, Gordon's home Fulham.
Yeah, I think it's Gordon for sure because of the pileup. Like Gordon and everyone, they're playing midweek. Like it's going to be their fifth game in 2 weeks.
I think it's
for
fair.
Newcastle. And that,
I am a little worried that Palmer starts, not because of anything he did wrong. I thought he was fucking terrific.
He was their best player. I'm not concerned.
But Chelsea
about that
are
at all.
Fucking nightmare land right now.
Yeah, but I think this is the exact perfect game for Chelsea, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they need to win by multiple goals.
Yeah, it's just a team that's going to come into Stamford Bridge and defend for their lives. And I think that they will be able to pick it and they'll have enough set pieces.
They need Palmer for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Palmer game. Like, his, you know, he's just going to be floating around.
Create a million chances this game. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone like a few weeks ago mentioned, which I like, I almost wanted to unsee because I was just, I'm still not sure what to make of Cole Palmer, but someone comped him to Ozil. There's something there.
Yeah.
There's really something there.
I mean, the double pivot guys were talking just from like a numbers standpoint when they talked about Palmer. This was probably like a month ago now, so it's a little bit dated, but they were trying to kind of put like Poch's Spurs team and line it up with the current Chelsea team and figure out like who's who kind of thing. And Palmer's just putting up like very similar numbers to like prime Eriksen. And they're not as good, but he's also like 20, you know?
I think
and
they're very just, different players too.
He's like floating into this. He plays wing, quote unquote, but like he floats into 10 nonstop. And it's just get him the ball, let him create chances kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's really good. I mean, I think that like for all the dumbass business that they've done, and now maybe they have no money because of the Otani deal, who knows, but all this dumbass business, they fucking nailed Cole Palmer somehow. And he just looks great.
Yeah. He has that unique way of like stopping and speeding up the game when he gets the ball, which is rare.
I mean,
just rare.
Change of pace is so much more valuable than raw pace, I think, especially in midfield.
And I mean, you watch him next to Mudryk and you're like, oh yeah, this player's fucking dog shit and this player's god tier. It's like they're right
Palmer
next to each
is
other.
Slow as fuck. Like, he can't excel. Like, he never reaches a top speed that you expect him to reach.
He doesn't
reach,
have a top speed. But his top speed is jogging.
But he dribbles by people so much. Yeah. Like, he just does a little shift weight, change feet, dribble around, neg someone. It's like, oh man, it's just worth it to change pace and have
something
skill.
Else.
He needs to get the fuck away from Premier League.
He needs to get injured. He needs to tear his ACL.
That'd be so good for Poch. That'd be so good for Poch. And then Ray's last question was, is Trent worth a hit in for Manchester United?
Yeah,
so, I mean, Trent definitely. Is another place where everyone's going to spend their money if Holland's out, right?
Yeah. As they should. Good place
As
to spend
should.
Money. Yeah.
Great pick.
Great pick.
It's interesting because, I mean, like, game week one, no one was on Trent, including us, and that was correct. But that was also, like, when we were filling our teams with 8 million mids.
Yeah.
Like, we all had, like, Manchester United, Saka, all these fucking guys. Now, all of a sudden, like, every team I see on Discord has, like, Palmer and Gordon, I think. If not, like, another 5 million mid in there. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden, paying 8 million for best defender in the game is not bad.
Yeah,
all
you
for
can
it.
Do it.
Yeah,
for sure.
All for it. Fuck, man. I think that's basically it.
All right.
Trent, two bones on a no attacking return, no clean game, by the way.
Yeah, how did that actually happen? Because he wasn't spamming in crosses. I don't remember
He created
him really
a lot of chances. They were just all blocked.
I don't remember creating any chances.
They were just all blocked, but like all of Liverpool's shots.
Were they innocuous passes that like the guy would dribble and then shoot from like a bad area? Because like he wasn't getting deep and putting crosses in that were dangerous. Like, what were the chances? Like, I genuinely don't remember any of them.
Yeah, I want to... Should I pull it up? You want to have some fun?
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
And the stream. Yeah, I mean, I think it was just like...
It's like his pass completion percentage was probably really high because he was just playing DM, like making side passes. But.
All right, so here's all of Liverpool's shots. All right, so here, set piece, Darwin chance. Here, corner, Van Dijk chance. So those are Liverpool's two biggest XG chances of the game. This is not him, not him. Here, Mo, open play shot blocked.
Yeah, but 0.09, I mean, come on.
But like the quality of the chances, well, it matters if it's a big chance, but like the number of chances is also bonus point stuff, right? So another, a bad
0.03.
Diaz. A bad Diaz shot, but again, a key pass.
That's like right there, 0.01. That's fucked up. He gets 0.01, 0.03, 0.02.
How do you think?
And then he's bossing Baps. Like, that doesn't affect the game.
How do you think Trips gets max bones every game?
I don't agree with it. I'm explaining how it happens.
I mean, it's just so quantity dumb. Matters a lot. Creating big chances is better for BPS, as it should be, obviously. Yeah. But not creating chances in general and hitting your pass completion.
But that's not you're not creating a chance. You're making a fucking side pass. And someone's taking a bad shot.
A chance just means the pass before a shot. That's all it means.
They need to change the word.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like a gradient of how good the chance was, that would be interesting.
It should just be called the pass before the shot.
Well, I've always had a pet peeve in FPL too, where keepers are fucking useless anyway, you know, and the lowest point scorers, and no one gives a shit about them, where they care about if it's a big chance or not when it's an attacker, but they don't care if it's a big chance or not when you're the keeper. So a keeper can make two fucking ridiculous saves on two huge chances. Doesn't get a save point. Doesn't get any bonus points.
It's the same as though someone passes it back to Bob Monster.
Yeah, he can pick up six fucking shit pingers from 40 yards and he gets two save points and bonus points.
Yep.
And it's just like so bad. It's so fucking stupid. But that's the game we love.
Good fun.
Yeah, that's
fun
the game we play. Yeah, it's a fun fucking game, dude.
It's fun, man.
No anus is the slap. And we'll do, you know, we'll have a Patreon pod and a live stream this week. Live stream on Thursday this week.
Yep.
I think. Live stream on Thursday. That's what we're doing. And dude. Any last words?
Yeah. No, I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow, dude. Check us out. From out the com. Follow us on Twitter at from the loop sports page.com/ subscribe, rate, review, cheer.
Podcast Network.